I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, for South Texas, diabetes is not an obscure health issue. It's a daily reality that impacts the lives of so many. In San Antonio, the disease affects about 1 in 6 residents. It is one of the region's most urgent public health challenges. Now, UT Health San Antonio is responding with a new Center for Excellence in Diabetes. The center is bringing together doctors, researchers, and educators to focus on prevention, treatment, and clinical trials. UT Health says the goal is to turn research into better diabetes care for South Texans. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Live from the John L. Santico Studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source. From Texas Public Radio, I'm David Martin Davies. Diabetes remains one of the most serious and widespread health challenges facing South Texas. The disease affects about 1 in 6 people in San Antonio. Nearly 17% of adults in Bexar County have been diagnosed, a rate higher than the state average. Now, UT Health San Antonio is responding with a new Center for Excellence in Diabetes, created to bring together research, clinical trials, and patient care in a more coordinated effort to address the disease and its many complications. Joining us now to talk about the new center, the scope of diabetes crisis in South Texas, and what new advances may mean for patients is Dr. Carolina Solis Herrera. Dr. Solis Herrera, welcome to The Source.
Thank you very much for having me, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
And our lines are open. Phone lines are open. You can call in questions and comments. If you want to tell us how diabetes has impacted your life, your family's life, we'd love to hear your story. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So, Dr. Solis Herrera, it seems like we have needed something like the Center for Excellence in Diabetes for a long, long time. This is a major health challenge all throughout the community. I think everyone knows someone, maybe in their family, maybe themselves, impacted directly by diabetes. It shortens lifespan. It is just something that is just an critical burden on our entire society. So how is the Center for Excellence in Diabetes, what are you bringing to the table?
Well, thank you first for having me here. And we are very proud, very excited about the Center of Excellence. And one of the reasons why I specialize in diabetes is because both of my parents suffer from type 2 diabetes, and I saw them going through their complications. And now here in San Antonio, having an incidence that is higher and a prevalence that is higher than the rest of the United States, it's literally a mecca for diabetes. So we need more investigators. We need more clinical trials. And the idea is to have a state-of-the-art facility that will have comprehensive and outstanding and multidisciplinary care for multiple patients with diabetes here in San Antonio and the surrounding areas.
So when we talk about diabetes, we have type 1 and type 2, and the center is going to be taking on both?
Yes. So we have multiple clinical trials. We also do research, so we're physician scientists in the type 2 diabetes is about 95% of the diabetes, and type 1 diabetes is about 5% of the diabetes. So type 2 diabetes is a lot more prevalent. So yes, we will have more studies in type 2, but we will have both.
Okay. So like just maybe for the purposes of our conversation, I do want to focus on type 2 diabetes because of the scope that it's, like you said, 95% of the people. And it seems to be the chronic issue that we see around us. So although type 1 is serious and it has its own interesting situation, it does seem like it's happening more frequently and it's happening younger as well. And we don't know a lot about why that's happening. But so in type 2 diabetes, we do understand it as a chronic disease about insulin, about how the body can't really keep the blood sugar at a normal range and all the complications that come from that. But how well do we really understand type 2 diabetes and the role insulin plays?
Okay. Well, one of the parts of the pathophysiology of type 2 diabetes is what we call insulin resistance. And there is a great genetic component, so that if you have family members with type 2 diabetes, siblings, etc., if you have obesity, you're sedentary, you had gestational diabetes, you have a great possibility of developing type 2 diabetes. So people are predisposed to have insulin resistance. And if on top of that, you have more risk factors, including being Hispanic, for example, which is a large part of the population here in San Antonio, then you have higher chances of having diabetes. That's why we recommend people to check starting age of 35 or younger if you have more risk factors.
But we're seeing younger and younger
Yes.
people getting type 2 diabetes. And even alarmingly young now, even children being diagnosed with it, and it means that they're going to have a much different kind of life than a child who didn't have type 2 diabetes. It is dramatically alarming. So why do you think that is happening? Because of all the conditions that you laid out, you know?
It's also epigenetics, right? And so the environment, the food, the lack of exercise, so not only the genetic predisposition, and the obesity. So about 75% of Americans are either overweight or obese, and obesity is very related to insulin resistance and the development of prediabetes and diabetes. So obesity and diabetes are invading our adolescents and now our children. And so part of the treatment is more exercise, healthier food, et cetera, so that we can finally make a change in diabetes in children.
So it does seem like there's a big part of addressing diabetes in our society is going to be instructive, talking to people, helping them. But at the same time, we have this problem where it does seem like we're blaming the victim when it comes to diabetes, or you tell parents, well, you know, people can be greatly offended by it and they're not receptive to the information that you're trying to convey. And so this is probably a lot of your research, is how do we talk to the community? How do we get people to buy in, to stakeholders, everyone to realize that this is something that we can take on together as a community, right?
Absolutely. So one of the things that is very important, and every time I speak about diabetes and obesity, is the stigma, because even the providers and the family members and the population in general may think that this is a willpower problem and that the patients have diabetes because they didn't take care of themselves, but that is not true. The same is with obesity. It's hormonal changes that are driven by genetic factors and then the environment. So what we try to do as providers and what we should advise our community and our leaders is to have more affordable medications, more access to medical care. We should advise the population to check their sugars since they're young and not assume that they are healthy just because they don't feel anything, because diabetes doesn't hurt until there's a catastrophic complication like a heart attack, a stroke, sudden blindness, etc.
Well, we're going to talk about all that and more coming back from the break. We definitely want to hear from our listeners about the stigma aspect of diabetes, how they think the Center for Diabetes can be effective in reaching out to the community, getting people to work with each other. I mean, this is a fantastic development, but it really is going to take all of us together in order to tackle diabetes in our society with our friends, neighbors, and family members. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. That's the number to call in. We do want to hear your story, and the source continues right after this break.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Today we're talking about an effort to address one of the most chronic, critical issues that we have here in San Antonio. It is the problem of diabetes. It impacts so many people in our society, our community, especially young children these days. And we've got to figure out how can we spare them the scourge of type 2 diabetes and help them live a long, successful, healthy life. With us in the studio, Dr. Carolina Solis Herrera, the founding director of the Center for Excellence in Diabetes at UT Health San Antonio. It is named as a world-class center for diabetes research, and it is close to home. It is here in San Antonio. It will be reaching out to the community. So, Dr. Solis Herrera, can you talk about the importance of working with the community, working with people? You're not just going to be in labs and white lab coats and playing with medicine and cultures and stuff. It is about dealing with the culture, not cultures, but culture. How does that work?
Absolutely. So I always say education is key. So we participate with multiple associations. Not only we do our own University of Texas community events, we observe World Diabetes Day on November 14. We observe World Obesity Day, and we do these health fairs where we provide information, nutritional information, which is really important because people many times don't know what to eat. They want to try to do the effort, but then they don't know what to eat. And also do risk questionnaires to see if they should come to the doctor and check their sugar. So between all of us, our government, our stakeholders, us as providers, you guys as the media and communication, we're all responsible, and we can all help so that our patients come sooner rather than later to check their sugar. And yes, on the other side of science and research, we are working on multiple clinical trials that address not only diabetes, obesity, fatty liver, all these complications that are associated and also intertwined, so that we can finally tackle diabetes and finally decrease the rate of growth of this world pandemic.
There's been a lot of talk about processed food these days. Is processed food part of the problem? You know, that it drives up the sugars, it creates insulin resistance?
Everything that is dense in calories is a problem, right? Because it promotes obesity. So if you can do little cuts here and there, so for example, instead of whole milk, 2% milk, increase the amount of lean protein that you consume, that's also very important. So if you eat poultry, take the skin out. You can eat fish, you can eat chicken, pork, but protein is really good for you. Just last week, a study came out that the more the amount of protein that you consume, about 1.6 grams per kilogram per day, the longer is the lifespan. So literally, you stay healthier for longer. So protein is very important. Fresh vegetables are very important. And then, of course, cut down all saturated fats and sweets in general.
So at the center, you're going to be bringing multiple specialties together, working and communicating together and talking together. How is that going to be something that will help address these issues?
Right. So we have a multidisciplinary team. So we work with heart doctors, kidney doctors, nutritionists, diabetes educators, obesity specialists, diabetes specialists, so that the patient can have like a multidisciplinary approach, because diabetes and obesity, again, like you mentioned earlier, are associated with over 200 complications. And so, and including behavioral health. because of the stigma, because of potential cognitive disorders that can be associated with these diseases. So it's very important that we have a multidisciplinary team and that we consider all the areas that are associated with diabetes and its complications.
It does seem like a lot of people are not aware of their personal risk for diabetes or their condition. They may suspect I'm probably diabetic, but they haven't gone to a doctor. They haven't been diagnosed. We have the problem that we have such a high population who are uninsured here in South Texas. We spend so little on public health in the state of Texas. Texas is ranked 45 in the nation for spending for public health. These are things that contribute to it. But if we can get people to be able to take action and say, find out. It's not that hard. There are resources around. We can help you find out what is your status with diabetes. I mean, would that be helpful?
Yes, absolutely. If we could improve the access, if we could, for example, there's some resources in the American Diabetes Association page for patients with multiple links of places that you can go or questionnaires that you can fill so that you can know your risk of having diabetes and then in one of our health fairs get checked. Also, the Texas Diabetes Institute has a very nice MAP program for people with limited resources. Also, social workers and caseworkers. So those are, and they have more resources. There's also CareLink here in the state, in the Bexar County, and that helps patients have access to medical care and more accessible medication.
So what are some of the early warning signs that people often overlook that we should probably make them aware of?
Excellent question. So if you start getting really thirsty for no reason or going to the bathroom very often, urinating very often, or if for no reason you start losing weight, there's something wrong. If you have tingling in your hands or your feet or you start seeing blurry, it could be because your sugar is high. And in those cases, you should get checked by a doctor.
Cuts that are slow to heal, especially yes. In your feet, that's a bad sign.
That's a bad sign. If you have an ulcer in your foot, you should immediately seek for care because they become infectious really fast.
And that's where we see amputations.
That's correct.
And so we have a lot of amputations here locally.
There's a significant increase in amputations when you already have an ulcer. And that's why we tell people come in sooner rather than later so that you don't get to those final complications.
And so when you start getting those complications, it's not too late, or is it too late, or where are you on that spectrum of time?
It's never too late, but we're very proactive. So we always say, even if you have the diagnosis of prediabetes, and we have a clinical trial right now that we are recruiting for people with prediabetes, and you can just come and check if you have prediabetes. We will do it completely for free. And it's completely voluntary, and there's a small compensation for participating in the study, and we also provide free medication. And so if you're interested in knowing more about that, you can reach out to us, to our UT Health Gateway Clinic in 210-450-9050 and ask for Dr. Solis Herrera.
So pre-diabetes, what is that in comparison with full-blown diabetes?
So pre-diabetes is diabetes. It's just in an early stage. Now we're changing our mentality and our state of mind. So many doctors and most patients think that pre-diabetes is almost diabetes, but not yet. So as long as I do diet and exercise, I'll be fine. We already have studies where we have shown that if you only do diet and exercise, the inflammation and the deterioration of your pancreas, which is the organ that produces insulin, continues. And the insulin resistance doesn't go away. So you need medication when you have prediabetes. And that is what we're trying to show in this clinical trial. We're still recruiting, so you guys are welcome to give us a call and get your sugar checked for free.
So what you're saying, because I've heard this expression, that diabetes is an unforgiving disease, that once you get to a point, there's no going back. And so you can't think of like, well, now I'm going to indulge and I'll make up for it later. You have to recognize the fact that there is no making up for whatever indulgence that you may have had.
That is correct. So if your sugar goes up, let's say to 300-400 because you had a dietary indiscretion and you ate something really sweet, and then it comes back down, actually there's literature that shows that in those big spikes is when the microvascular complications like neuropathy, eye disease, kidney disease progresses faster than if the sugar is nice and steady. So we recommend consistency, having breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but with a moderate amount of carbohydrates, always fresh vegetables, and your protein.
Right. On a schedule, have a schedule for yourself and try and keep to that schedule when you eat and all these other things. Don't wait for, don't skip meals, these types of things, because that can be very erratic for your sugars, and then that will be, and when you do that, you're actually causing harm to your system, neurological harm or whatever, and it's just not hard. And there's no going back.
Absolutely. And that's why it's important, even when we all think that we know what to eat, the honest truth is that we don't. Even I myself, I've been an endocrinologist for over 20 years, and sometimes I need a refresher or hear what are the new things out there. Because now that the understanding of diabetes and the importance of low-carb and low-calorie food is for our population, there are a lot of new products out there that have more protein, have less sugar. And that we, if you want to talk to a dietitian, a diabetes educator, or if you want to work on your weight management, in our clinic, we have fantastic dietitians that can help you understand better what to eat. We always recommend that you make your appointment with the person that cooks at home. So it's usually the husband and the wife. And we also have group classes that you can come. There are small group classes, about six people, and they learn everything that you need to know about diabetes, since how it works, what medications are available, the potential complications, and
so once
how
someone,
to monitor.
Once someone is diagnosed with diabetes type 2, what's the biggest mistake that people typically make?
Take the medication temporarily and then stop taking it, or falling off the wagon and
just ignore it and saying,
eating.
Just let the good times roll. You know, just ignoring it and saying, well, I've heard this from people. Okay, there's kind of a fatalistic attitude about getting diabetes, type 2 diabetes. And they're saying, I'm just going to, you know, if I can't drink beer and eat what I want to eat, then why live at all?
Right. There's a good amount of people that at the beginning, of course, it's a shock because a change of life and lifestyle. However, they need to understand that it's not that you're going to eat cardboard. You're actually going to get good advice from a dietitian, depending on your preferences, on your culture, etc., so that you can have a healthy, balanced diet that it's very likable, very palatable, but without the excess sugar that is harming your body.
Right. And when you say the sugar, we're talking about like refined flours and things like that as well.
It can be refined sugar. I mean, we can talk about oatmeal, rice, especially in large amounts, mashed potatoes, all the things that are starches, not only sweets, not only cake, all of those. Pasta, for example, pizza, Chinese food, they have a lot of calories
and sugar.
Does it
make a difference if it's corn or flour tortillas?
So the amount of carbs is about the same. But flour tortillas have more calories. So if you're planning to also watch your weight, you might as well go with corn and other tortillas that are low calorie that you can find in the large grocery stores, or that are made by other vegetables, like beets, for example, that are very palatable and they're very low in carbs.
All right, so there are alternatives.
Absolutely.
All right, so but it's not always available, not always affordable, and people like what they like, and they're not willing to try something different. All right, so we got to hit another break. We're going to come back and talk some more about diabetes here in San Antonio, the Center for Excellence in Diabetes, their approach to trying to figure out why this is the problem that it is, how do we communicate to the community, how do we bring people together to support each other, because this is such a chronic disease that it can be beat. We can do that. The number to call in is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the opening of the new Center for Excellence in Diabetes at UT Health San Antonio. It's been created to bring together research, clinical trials, patient care, and a more coordinated effort to address this disease that we know has so many complications, impacts San Antonio, Bexar County, South Texas in so many ways. With us in the studio to tell us more about that is the founding director, Dr. Carolina Solis Herrera. You can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. I have an email question from a colleague of yours, my question, as someone with a background in public health, are there any opportunities to volunteer collaboration with the center to develop and implement programs and training in the area of public health pertaining to diabetes? So how well will you be working with other institutions? Because we have many here.
Yes, absolutely. That is such a wonderful question. Yeah. Part of the mission of the Diabetes Center of Excellence is collaboration. Collaboration not only internally and intramural with the Health Science Center, but also with the community. We're participating with the American Diabetes Association, with the American Heart Association, with Metro Health, and we've been collaborating back-to-school events with some of the representatives of our community. So we absolutely always have opportunities to collaborate for the community, to collaborate in clinical trials, observerships. We do have a lot of students or people that want to go to medical school or to residency that want to stay with us for a couple of weeks and see what kind of studies do we have and what experience they can get from that observership. Absolutely. We're always happy. You can reach out to us. I don't know if you have a webpage, or they can email you and you can forward the questions on people that want to collaborate. But yes, we are absolutely open to collaborate with multiple organizations for the greater goal of curing diabetes.
And another question from off air. Are there any DNA tests to identify diabetes, maybe from family members or from your, can it show up if you're being tested?
Not really, no. There are multiple target genes that are more associated with diabetes, but that is more research and experimental. There's really not a test, a genetic test, a DNA test that you can do to see if you have diabetes. It's much simpler just to get your sugar checked, something called A1C checked, and see if you are in ranges of diabetes. It's about more the risk factors. It's a lot more simpler than it looks. It's about, does your parents have diabetes? Do you have siblings with diabetes? Did you have a child that was more than 9 pounds or gestational diabetes? Those are risk factors that increase your risk greatly, and that's when you should get your sugar checked.
It does seem like when we talk about type 2 diabetes in our community that there are disparities by income, parts of San Antonio neighborhoods, demographics. And so is that a barrier to providing solutions for diabetes, the fact that it does seem to be in lower income demographics?
So it is correct. There are multiple studies that have shown that more challenged populations have a tendency of developing more this kind of chronic diseases, and it can be in part because of the fast foods, the diet, the lack of access to medical care, et cetera. So we're trying to open that access and eventually create a center that also can help the less fortunate.
So I have heard from some people who've said they were diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, then they got on an exercise program, Then they started addressing, managing their diet, and they reversed it. Is that true? Can they actually do that? Because people have told me that multiple times.
So you have to do that anyway. You have to do the diet, the lifestyle, the exercise, but you still need medication. And now we have incredible medications that not only lower your sugar, but also protect your heart from a heart attack or a stroke. They protect your kidney from having a kidney disease, or if you already have it, to decrease the progression of kidney disease and avoiding dialysis, preventing strokes. So it is very important that you do the diet, the exercise, but also are on a medication that treats your diabetes, but also protects your heart and your kidneys.
So you said that there are 12 clinical trials that are being conducted presently at the center. So what kind of studies are underway right now?
Yeah, well, one of our biggest studies is the pre-diabetes study, and that is a grant from the Baptist Health Foundation, and we're very grateful. And so we are recruiting patients with pre-diabetes, which means that your sugar is between 100 and 124 when you're fasting in the morning. And if you have ever checked your sugar and it's like 110 or something like that, stop by and see if you're eligible for that study. Again, all these studies provide a small compensation and free laboratory that you get a copy, free EKGs, we check your heart, we check your liver, etc. You get a very comprehensive evaluation, and then you get on the medication for 6 months, and then we repeat the studies, and we see the impact of these different medications that I mentioned. We're using the latest and greatest medications, and see which medication is more effective to treating prediabetes. And the point is to reverse prediabetes to normal sugar. And that is right now the way that we're trying to approach the development of diabetes in the future.
All right, we've got a caller. The number is 833-877-8255. And Ronaldo, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Thank you. The comments I had to make will help you or somebody that's new to it or just gets worn out from doing it. I was diagnosed back in 2000, and I'm doing pretty good, but your attitude has a lot to do with it. So in order to appease myself, let's say, I read and I listen to other experts. One of them turned me on to about flour products. If you leave off any flour products, including crackers and bread and so forth, for 3 days, on the fourth day, you will have lost 1 pound. On the second day, 2 pounds, and so forth. I managed to lose 28 pounds and kept them off. I had to buy new belts along the way. The other thing is you have to count your carbs. And also, when you go to dinner, don't put a small plate and then, because you're doing small servings or whatever, use a big plate. Use a platter. That way you can put everything on it, make it colorful. It won't be a lot of one thing. It'll be a lot of different things in small portions. And you count them. And now they used to tell me that 15 carbs equal one serving, and I was allowed 5 servings. Well, if you want to lose weight, you count it as 9 per serving. And go on, and then of course have a snack, macadamia nut with another fruit, one macadamia nut, and how I came across it, who knows, but it works. It'll help you to get to lunch. But what I wanted to say was I appreciate this new facility that you have, and I have so many ways that I've come up with. What it did for me was allow me to come up with new recipes. I was a sharecropper back in before I joined the Army for 8 years, so I know my vegetables. Mm-hmm. I also worked in retail stores, convenience stores, and grocery stores. I know how to mix things up. And you say, well, I don't like that. Well, nobody asks you if you like it. They're saying, do you want to control your sugars? Of course you do. So realize that you are the one that has diabetes, not your brother, not your sister, not your mom, not your wife. They have no clue. Okay?
Okay. Bernardo, thank you so much for that call. There's a lot there to talk about. First of all, let's talk what you said about elimination of like refined flour products from your diet. Is that helpful?
So, Ronaldo, thank you for your call, and I love your enthusiasm. Yes, I mean, you wanna decrease the starches, you wanna decrease the refined sugars. However, I don't know about the big platter. you also have to limit the amount. So, yes, it is important to learn how to read labels. So behind every product, it says how many carbs per portion, and then you need to see how much is a portion. So we usually recommend 30 to 45 carbs per meal if you eat three times a day, no more than that.
So how much is, I don't know what that looks like. What does that look like?
Right. And so what I tell our patients is that if you're eating rice, beans, or for example, a tortilla, which is 15 grams of carbs, then you can have two corn tortillas, for example. That's 30 grams of carbs. Or if it's any grains, as long as they fit in the palm of your hand, then you can eat that portion. So another way that we talked about food is with a healthy plate.
So even like frijoles?
Beans, yes, frijoles.
Yeah. I thought they were healthy.
Yes. The regular, like the black beans have more fiber, so we prefer black beans other than the regular beans.
Like in Central America.
Right. But yeah, bottom line is a 10-inch plate, half of the plate, green vegetables, and the other half, a quarter your protein and a quarter your starch.
Okay, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of eating healthy in order to get out of pre-diabetes. And we got some callers, Beverly and Jose. We'll get you on the air when we come back from the break. Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Source continues after this quick break. Stay with us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about diabetes in San Antonio. Yes, it is a chronic disease. Yes, there are a lot of smart people working to try to figure out how we can beat diabetes, and we can. The new Center for Excellence in Diabetes is opened up at the UT Health San Antonio. We're joined by Dr. Carolina Solis Herrera. She is the founding director, and we're taking your calls. Let's go to Beverly. And Beverly, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. So the last comment the doctor gave about dietary advice was really well done. But I've been a clinical nutritionist here in San Antonio for 36 years, and here's some insights I have. First, people have to be willing to change their diet, and that is the big that's the big stumbling thing, that we have gotten so used to living on chips and bread and sodas and pastas and cookies and sweet rolls that people don't know how to cook anymore, and they don't want to cook anymore. So that's the first hurdle. Secondly, it's a financial problem because we need to replace all these carbs with the protein and vegetables that we've eaten historically, and meats and vegetables and good butter and coconut oil, good fats. They are more expensive than rice and beans, so there is a financial problem. And so, yes, we need to replace those heavy carbs with the animal proteins, vegetables, and good fats that satisfy our hunger, so we're not drawn to high starch, high carb snacks.
Beverly, thank you for the call. And your reaction, Doctor?
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Thank you, Beverly, for calling. I agree. People want to change. And it's not a big change. And again, there are many combinations of food that you can make that you don't have to feel like, oh my God, I mean, I enjoy eating and now this is like a death sentence. Absolutely not. There are many ways to eat correctly and balanced without feeling like you're eating like cardboard, or some people say like a rabbit. So it's about wanting to learn and approaching the experts then can teach you how to make that change.
Let's go to Jose on the phones. And Jose, you're on the air.
Hi, David. Hi. Toward the beginning of the broadcast, your guest mentioned factors that sort of play a role into you getting diabetes. I wanted to ask how that, like what those factors are and how that relates.
Okay, you're cutting in and out.
Well, you mentioned earlier.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're cutting in and out, but I think we got the question. But we appreciate it, Jose. Thanks for calling. So what are the risk factors?
Absolutely. I'm happy to repeat. So having family members, direct family members, your mother, your father, siblings with type 2 diabetes or pre-diabetes puts you at risk. Being from a minority, in this case, the greatest minority is the Hispanic population here in San Antonio, also puts you at increased risk not only of developing diabetes, but a more aggressive diabetes. If you have history that during your pregnancy, you had a large baby of 9 pounds or bigger, or if you were diagnosed with gestational diabetes, that is another risk factor. If you already have other chronic inflammatory diseases like obesity, hypertension, high cholesterol, that puts you at risk of having diabetes.
What about environmental factors? I think that's what he was asking about.
Yes. So being sedentary, for example, many people work from home now, and that has increased obesity, and obesity is directly associated with diabetes, makes you more insulin resistant, etc. So that is one of the biggest one, being not active, not exercising, and then the superfoods, right? We're in Texas, so in Texas, everything is bigger. So the sodas, the extra large foods, the burgers.
What about the sweet tea? You know,
Yes, that's a lot of sugar.
That's a lot of sugar.
That's a lot of sugar. So like a regular can of Coke is the equivalent of 12 packets of sugar. So that's a lot of sugar. And just one gulp.
Yeah. So that's the sweet tea. Let's get away from sweet tea, folks. Regular tea is great.
And Splenda is great. And supplements like that are great. Stevia, but not regular sugar.
Let's go to Robert. Robert, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Yeah. Yes. I just have a question. On the Google News or whatever, they said that they already have a cure for diabetes. And I tried some of the ingredients that they showed on the video, which is cinnamon, lemon, honey, and one other ingredient that I forgot. But my sugar was out of control for a minute, and I've had diabetes for 20 years, I guess, more or less. I could never control it. And since I started doing this remedy, my sugar has dropped down to 100 and stayed balanced at 100, you know, 110, 90, 110, 105, 90.
Okay.
So does.
Yeah. Robert, thank you for the call. So let's talk about that. I mean, so I don't know about Robert and his particular case, but what he talked about, does that make sense to you, Doctor?
Thank you, Robert, for your question and for calling. And it's really important to remember that if there is a tea that you like, let's say chamomile, and you swear by it, or cinnamon tea, that's okay, but you still need to take your medication. So medication is really what is helping you with your diabetes. There's a lot of misinformation out there about supplements. They're not FDA approved because they're labeled as supplements. So we don't even really know what's in them. People are prone to resort to supplements instead of scientifically proven medication that actually has shown to be very safe and effective and have multiple benefits for the patient. So we advise you not to trust social media. There's no Dr. Google. Come and see your real doctor.
All right. No Dr. Google, no social media disinformation, people who are just after clicks and they don't really care about you the way your doctor cares about you. Let's go to Mary on the phones. And Mary, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I need to find out. You gave the number to where to go to volunteer. And yeah. I got the doctor, so Lisa Vera, but I didn't get the rest of the number. And I saw that, I listened to the source religiously. And there's time when you have people like you, but they don't give you, they don't take enough time to give us where to call in for this study. and this is the first time I'm actually calling to ask, but there has been other studies that I would like to have participated in, and I would qualify for my symptoms, but the number is so quickly. So anyway, that's what I need.
Okay, Mary. So the number again, doctor?
The number again, and I apologize if I spoke too quickly. It's 210-450-9050. Again, 210-450-9050, and ask for Dr. Solis Herrera.
So when we hear about these things like lifestyle changes and some of the calls that we're getting about taking hints from social media, people, they feel like the stigma of the whole thing is falling on their shoulders. How do we keep delivering this message in a positive way, empowering way, and how we can focus on mindset, you know, that you can do this and life is still going to be great and fantastic, and you can avoid blindness, amputations, kidney failure, all sorts of horrible things. You don't want to be on dialysis. But, you know, if you have a choice between having one less tortilla at a meal and avoiding these terrible complications, you have that power to make that decision. So how do we communicate that?
Well, again, education, dissemination of information, programs like TPR, I mean, this is fantastic because you have a lot of listeners, and right now they're listening that even if their sugar is barely abnormal, it might already have cardiovascular complications. You may have a heart attack. You may have other complications. So the mindset is really important, a positive attitude, an empowering attitude, because if you check yourself early, it's fairly easy to treat your prediabetes or your diabetes and avoid all those complications. And then you're in control of your life instead of diabetes controlling your life.
So how important are things like sleep, stress management, mental health conditions, and diabetes prevention?
Oh, that is extremely important. Behavioral health, if you have anxiety, if you're grieving, if you're going through a divorce, if you have financial hardship, all those things create a lot of stress. There's a lot of anxiety eating. And that is also a medical condition that can be treated. All those factors, stress in general, can make you eat more or get more insulin resistant. Or if you cannot sleep at night, it's important that you sleep 7 to 8 hours a day, that you're always well hydrated, especially here in San Antonio now that the summer is going to start, and stay active. Stay active safely, no matter what your age is, from children to older adults, stay active and safe.
Do you have hope that South Texas can change the trajectory of diabetes?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely, yes. It's going to take a lot of work with all of us, with all the community, with all the stakeholders. But yes, it can be done.
With the investment that's being put into the Center for Excellence in Diabetes, the focus of attention, the bringing together of not just expertise, but people who really care, people like yourself, your parents have gone through this. There's a lot on the line, and it seems like there's a lot of people who really want to change the story of diabetes here in San Antonio. So, yeah.
Absolutely. So please reach out, and we'll be happy to advise how can we help.
Dr. Solis Herrera, Carolina Solis Herrera, thank you so much for coming into The Source today and talking to us, the founding director of the Center for Excellence in Diabetes at UT Health San Antonio. It's great having you on today.
Thank you so very much for the invitation, David. It was wonderful being here, and thank you to the audience. And remember us, reach out to us. We're here to help.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies, thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.